The book of Proverbs gives us a lot of general principles, and a lot of these principles on wealth are just that. General principles are not hard and fast rules all the time, but they're general principles on what God has to say and God's wisdom has to say about what we do with our wealth. Franklin Hauser, who was my pastor as a little boy in Bristol, South Dakota, and then pastored me again in college in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, said this: God is willing to let us have what we possess without it possessing us, so long as we determine to glorify Him and bring forth His kingdom with what He gives to us. Now, there's different sources of wealth that Proverbs talks about. And first of all, we need to understand that the greatest wealth we have is a relationship with God. And God blesses us with what we have, but the greatest blessing we have, the greatest wealth we have, is actually knowing Jesus as our Savior. Regardless of our financial position in life, the greatest wealth we can ever have is knowing Him. Proverbs 8:18 through 21 says, "With me, God and wisdom, are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than gold, fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full." So God says right there, a relationship with Him is better than fine gold and silver and all the wealth you can put together. Knowing Jesus is better than all of that. Proverbs 10:22, "The blessings of the Lord bring wealth, and He adds no trouble to it." Proverbs 22, verse 4 says, "Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life." Now, what those verses are telling us, of course, is that wealth is really a gift from God. And even if it doesn't always result in financial wealth, there is a spiritual wealth that you and I have that comes from knowing and following God. Another theme from Proverbs in regard to wealth is this, that we need to be people who work hard and plan ahead well. Proverbs 10 verse 4 says, "Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth." Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." And then Proverbs 27, verses 23 and 24 says, "Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations." So, you know, if you inherited a herd of livestock, and you just thought, well, I got all this, I can kind of ignore my herd, all that can just pretty well disappear real quick if you don't take care of it, if you don't watch and care for the condition of that. And that's true not just in agriculture, but in every area of our life. We have to be responsible stewards of what has been given to us. Now, there's some general wisdom on wealth that God wants us to know, that Solomon gave us. And the first thing is this, that wealth should never be our primary objective in life, our ultimate objective. Proverbs 11, verse 16 says, "A kind-hearted woman gains respect, but a ruthless man gains only wealth." And what he's saying there is respect is more valuable than wealth. And you and I should live our lives in a way to gain respect. Proverbs 15:16, "Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth and turmoil." So it's a lot better to have the fear of the Lord. That's something, you know, respect for God and honor God is a whole lot better than having money. Proverbs 16, verse 8 says, "Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice." If we have to be unjust and treat other people wrongly in order to get wealthy, that's not worth it. And so he says, be careful how you gain your wealth. Proverbs 17:16 says, of what use is money in the hands of a fool, since he has no desire to get wisdom? So Solomon is again telling us, wisdom is more important than wealth. So never make wealth your primary goal and objective in life. And then secondly, we should never make wealth in an ungodly manner. If we make money, we need to make it in a way that pleases God. Proverbs 21 verse 6 says, a fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. Make sure that when you are making income, that you are a person of always integrity. You're telling the truth. You're not stretching anything. You're not telling a lie. That you're a person of integrity. Proverbs 28 verse 8, he who increases his wealth by exorbitant interest amasses it for another who will be kind to the poor. And so don't take your wealth and then loan it out to other people at crazy rates that only make their lives worse. Help people instead of just loaning it out at exorbitant interest rates. Proverbs 23 verses 4 and 5 says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. You've all known some people that just destroyed their health because they spent every waking minute just working, trying to get rich. That was their goal in life. Have the wisdom to show some restraint. Find balance in your life. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Now, all of us have had that experience with money. It just evaporates, and it's gone. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 says, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. And sometimes you and I just need to learn to be content as a spiritual discipline in our lives. And then we need to use whatever wealth we have to create spiritual health. Billy Graham said, there's nothing wrong with being rich. Some of the greatest men in the Bible were rich. But it's what we do with those riches that God is going to look at, and he's going to look at our motives and our intent. We never can allow whatever we have, the wealth we have and the jobs that we have, we can never allow them to damage our souls. Proverbs 11 verse 4 says, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. I can have all the money in the world, but in the day of wrath, what good does that do? Does it save me from hell? No. It won't do anything for me at that point. So, you know, righteousness is what delivers us from death. Proverbs 13:11 says, dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers more money, little by little, makes it grow. And so he's talking there about having wisdom with whatever you get, letting it grow, saving some and letting it grow, instead of not trying to make money dishonestly. Now, Proverbs also talks to us about some things that you and I should do with our wealth. Last week we looked at those famous verses from Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Well, right after those verses come these verses from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Our youth looked at those last night. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops, and your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And, you know, when you think back about those words, trust in the Lord with all your heart, one of the biggest challenges in American culture, and I think anywhere in the world, but I think it's true here in American culture, is, you know, if I really trust God, can I trust that he will make 90% of my income go further in my life if I give him the first 10%? Do I really, you know, that really comes down to money there. Do I trust that God will take care of my needs if I give him the first tenth, the first tithe, the first of whatever I get? And that's just that matter. I trust God. And I trust, I honor Him before I honor the government. I honor Him before I honor anything else. And that's what that is all about. E. Stanley Jones, who was a great Methodist missionary to India half a century ago, said, "The only people that can deal with wealth are the people who serve God with it. It is in their hands, not in their hearts. They put it to work in service, and the only way to deal with wealth is to take out what you really need and then dedicate the rest of it to the needs of other people around you." Another thing that Proverbs says to us in terms of how we use wealth, he says, we ought to be people who take care of the needs of poor and oppressed around us. Proverbs 19, verse 17 says, "Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord." Did you catch that? Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward them for what they have done. Proverbs 21, 13, "Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered." And then Proverbs 22, verse 9 says, "The generous themselves will be blessed, for they will share their food with the poor." And then thirdly, in terms of what we should do with our wealth, we have to give our wealth a godly direction. And some of that in terms of what happens with our wealth when we're gone. We need to think through those issues ahead of time and give some direction. Proverbs 13, verse 22 says, "A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children." So what he's saying there is, you're thinking down the road. And when you plan your estate and your will and your inheritance, you need to plan it in such a way that you're making sure that it's going to help them and bless them instead of become a nuisance or something that leads them astray. And thinking through, how can I do that in a way that pleases God? He goes on there and says, "But a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous." And so we need to be people who think about the future and what we do with our resources. Proverbs 20, verse 21 says, "An inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed at the end." In other words, we can, you remember the prodigal son? He wanted his estate, his inheritance right away, and he took off and squandered it, lost it all down, so he had absolutely nothing left, and came back home. His inheritance was just gone. Now he was able to come back and his father loved him and embraced him and took him back in, but he had squandered it. He had squandered his inheritance. So that's what comes when we want our inheritance too soon. We want things that we haven't worked for yet and prepared for. And so he gives us that word of warning. Now there's some things that Proverbs also says we should not do with our wealth, and I've already hinted at a number of those. Number one of these is that we are not to lay up security for others or be co-signers on loans. That is fairly common in our culture. But there's great wisdom in that, apparently, because Solomon told us that's a word from God. If you can help somebody, you should help them without co-signing on a loan. Do whatever you can to help them, but you don't need to co-sign on a loan. Proverbs 6, verses 1 through 6, and I don't have that on the screen. I'm not going to read it for you. It's a little longer passage, but it makes that point very clear. Here's two other verses, though. Proverbs 20, verse 16. "Take the garment of one who puts up security for a stranger. Hold it in pledge if it is done for an outsider." And so he's saying, man, if you're going to co-sign on a loan, let them come take it from you right away. Because you don't know what's going to happen in that person's life or your life or anything else. Don't go in that direction. Don't set yourself up for a fall. Proverbs 22, verse 26 says, "Do not be one who shakes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you." So one thing he says in Proverbs is don't co-sign on loans. Secondly, we are not to get lazy or undisciplined in life if we want wealth. Proverbs 21 verse 17 says, whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. And so he's saying there, we have to be disciplined in our life. And if life is just about having fun, we're probably not going to amass wealth. If it's all about just enjoying and eating out and all that kind of stuff, that's eventually going to keep us from having wealth. Proverbs 21 verse 20 says, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. And so he's telling us that we need to also be wise about setting aside, saving some money, or whatever it might be, preparing for whatever might come tomorrow. So we need to be trust the Lord, but we also ought to be people who are prepared for whatever might happen tomorrow. We need to be prepared for that, you know, when the appliances go out or whatever happens or comes up. If we can be prepared for those things, we as Christians ought to do our best to be prepared for those. Proverbs 29 verse 3 says, a man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. And so our lifestyle can be a detriment, can hurt us and our ability to develop wealth in life. Now, thirdly, we are not to use our wealth to hurt the poor or to reward those who are already rich. Those two things, he says, don't do those. Proverbs 14:31 says, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. If we use our wealth to squash somebody else down, that is just anathema to God. He just hates it. He wants us to be helping people, not squashing them down. He says, you know, that just shows contempt to their maker. But whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Proverbs 22 verse 16 says, one who oppresses the poor to increase his wealth and one who gives gifts to the rich, both come to poverty. I have known some people that just will give gifts to the rich to, you know, buy friendships or to impress and all that kind of stuff. And he says, no, don't do that. Use your wealth wisely for the right reasons. Wealth can be a major source of security in our life. But Helen Keller said this, the blind woman, she said, security is mostly a superstition. It does not exist in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experience it. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. Well, there is a sense in which there is a certain amount of security that comes in wealth, and we all know that. That's part of the reason we all want wealth, or more than what we have, is it provides some security in our life. Proverbs 10 verse 15 says, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. It provides some security in our life. But poverty is the ruin of the poor. But on the other hand, Proverbs also tells us this, that you and I can imagine that wealth does us a whole lot more than it actually does. We can imagine that it really is a fortified city around us and that it can't be stripped away or taken away. Proverbs 11:28 says, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. So be careful that no matter how much wealth you have or amass or whatever else, make sure that you don't put your trust there. Trust in the Lord. And then Proverbs 18:11 says, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it an unscalable wall that nothing can destroy. Anything you and I have can be gone tomorrow. Anything that you and I have can be gone tomorrow. No matter what you do, it can be gone. We need to keep that in mind as Americans. We need to be wise with our money. We need to save. We need to do all these things. But we also need to remember that it's not a fortified city. It's not everything. Our real security is in the Lord Jesus Christ. J.D. Greer, as a Baptist, said, when Jesus becomes your security, you will be free to follow him wherever he tells you to go. You will no longer require things and creature comforts to enjoy life. You will no longer require huge sums of money to feel secure. And as your heart is overwhelmed with the grace of God that has been shown to you in the gospel, you'll find that there's nothing you would rather do with your money than help other people find Jesus and know him, because he is the real source of security in life. Proverbs 18, verse 10 says, the Lord is a strong tower, a mighty fortress. And basically what Proverbs would remind us is that Jesus is the true wealth. He is the true security that we can have in life. We need to run to him. We need to put our trust in him and find our salvation in him. And with that, I'm going to close and pray. And then Joe and Margaret are going to come and lead us in the great hymn, Trusting Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you today for every gift that we have. Some of us have more wealth than others. All of us have been blessed by you. We just thank you, Father, for the nation that you have planted us in, for the things that you have done for us and given to us. We ask, Lord, that you would indeed help us, Lord, to honor you with everything that we have. We pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom in regard to the way we use the resources that you've given to us, resources that you have given us the ability to work for and to make, the resources that just came as a gift to us. We thank you, Lord, for each one of those. Help us, Lord, to honor you with the way that we make wealth. Help us to remember that there are other things in life that are more important, such as our character and integrity and honoring you and a relationship with you and wisdom. Help us to remember that in the context of living life and getting so absorbed in the circle of trying to provide for ourselves and take care of the future and all of that. Help us to remember that you are our future. You are our hope. You are our rock. You are our foundation. You're everything we need. In Jesus' name, amen.